Markets around the world recovered some ground today after those scary losses following Britain's referendum last week. But political uncertainty continues on both sides of the Atlantic. Both of Britain's major parties are in chaos. The leadership of the EU is trying to come to terms with its greatest challenge to date. And the Trump and Clinton campaigns are trying to gauge lessons learned. So this week, it's one big story with several threads on the mind of news analyst Neil Conan, who usually joins us most Tuesdays from his farm on the Big Island. Today finds him traveling in Wyoming. He joins us from there. Good morning.
Good morning, Beth Ann. We just crossed South Pass in the Wind River Mountains in the Continental Divide, so we're just outside of Lander, Wyoming.
All right. Well, we're glad to talk to you wherever you are. Now, were you as surprised as I was that the British voters opted out of the EU?
Oh, yes. The polls showed the referendum pretty close, and they weren't far wrong, but the betting markets were way off, 70-30, something like that. Just after the polls closed, Nigel Farage of the UK Independence Party said he thought Leave had suffered a narrow defeat. So, yes, definitely surprised. Most experts thought that in the decisive moment in the election booth, most people would make the safe decision, but they chose disruption instead.
Right, that word disruption figuring prominently, and that's exactly why so many people are wondering about the relevance to our election, where we have one candidate who has been described as safe and cautious, and another who seems to actually define disruption.
That's right. And let's extend the analogy to include the fact that both Donald Trump and the British Leave campaigns put immigration front and center, both focus on anger with far-off bureaucrats and the economic struggles of the working class. Both campaigns can be described as nativist as well as populist. Both are willing to appeal to racism, and both are headed by, you know, wealthy demagogues. Nigel Farage, he called last Thursday Britain's Independence Day, and, of course, Donald Trump, who cheered the British result and scheduled a speech in Pennsylvania today to rail against free trade agreements, pretty much the same thing.
So what are the major differences?
Well, the vote in Britain was about an idea, while we will be choosing between two very different candidates, two people. Yes, there's the anger of the white working class that Trump's tapped into, but the college-educated are a bigger part of the U.S. electorate. Minorities are a much bigger part. Donald Trump has alienated a huge percentage of women across the board as well, and many minority groups. Of course, he still has major problems within his own party. He has a serious gap to make up in fundraising and campaign staff, and the most recent polls show him with significant deficits both nationally and in most of the swing states, and that's a major difference too, Beth. And the U.S. election is not a contest for the popular vote. It's 51 separate elections, and the Democrats begin with important advantages in the Electoral College.
Still, though, I mean, all this has to be a real gut check with Donald Trump's candidacy looking a little more plausible than it did even a week ago.
Very much. Yes, I think that's right. And another analogy, you know, half-hearted support from the left. Jeremy Corbyn in Britain, the very left-wing leader of the Labour Party, who only campaigned for Remain in the last couple of days. He refused to appear with Conservative Prime Minister David Cameron and Leave won big in most Labour areas. Bernie Sanders has yet to endorse Hillary Clinton. He did say he would vote for her, but in remarks that might define half-hearted. But another difference, Liberal champion Elizabeth Warren made her first campaign with Secretary Clinton last night in Cincinnati.
This is true. And that was pretty much a full-throated endorsement, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And we could expect the same when President Obama hits the stump with Secretary Clinton, and we'll see a major contrast in a couple of weeks at the conventions. There's going to be a lot of focus on who does not show up in Cleveland. The last two Republican presidents, the last two Republican presidential candidates, just to begin with. Mm-hmm. Well, Secretary Clinton will begin with the complete endorsement of the sitting, and according to those same polls, solidly popular president of the United States with her former president husband, with Senator Warren, maybe a surprise Republican or two, and I suspect Senator Sanders will come around as well.
Okay, we've got a little time before we actually get to Cleveland and Philadelphia, but for the moment I want to focus on Britain. Everybody accepted that Prime Minister Cameron would be in trouble if the Leave campaign actually won. He quickly announced his plans to resign. But why is Jeremy Corbyn facing a revolt from members in Parliament in the Labour Party?
Corbyn has never been popular with Labour MPs. Remember that he was elected leader after Ed Miliband led Labor to disaster in the general election a couple of years ago. The consensus was that he may have been too left-wing for the electorate. Instead of swinging back toward the center, the membership of the Labor Party picked an even more leftist replacement. The party membership, not his fellow MPs, many of whom see Corbyn as a quixotic, eccentric, difficult, and as poorly organized. With the Conservatives in chaos now, deeply split, a lot of people suspect there will be another general election soon to sort out the post-Brexit landscape. Most Labour MPs worry that Corbyn would mean another defeat for Labour, so replace him now, they say. He lost a vote of no confidence among his parliamentary members today. He's going to appeal to the party membership that selected him in the first place. As of yet, it's unclear how this is going to work out.
Stay with that post-Brexit landscape for a second. One consequence in the not-too-distant future could be another referendum on Scottish independence.
Absolutely right, and maybe one in Northern Ireland, too. Both these areas voted strongly for Remain. In Scotland, the pro-independent First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon, said a new referendum is now very likely. Her Scots Nats party lost that referendum just a couple of years ago. She wants to see solid support for independence for maybe 6 months running before she risks another vote. Northern Ireland is interesting because so much contact and trade across the border with the rest of Ireland. With Brexit, that border becomes a solid border between an EU country and the North as part of Britain. Most Northern Irish nationalists, that's the Catholics, voted Remain. Most loyalists, the Protestants, voted Leave. So it's hard to see how an independence referendum would not devolve into the same old sectarian argument in Northern Ireland, but we'll see. One part of Britain that's really worried right now is Gibraltar, which voted something like 95% Remain, so they wanted to keep their open border with Spain.
And what about a larger exit? I mean, right-wing parties in France and the Netherlands quickly were calling for referendums of their own. Is this the beginning of what could be the end for the European project?
Maybe. And I think that has to worry everybody west of Moscow. But we're all, we're ways away from that. And right now, it's going to be interesting to see if the EU punishes Britain in the upcoming negotiations to warn those who may want to follow suit. If Britain insists on immigration control, and that's what a lot of this referendum was about, I don't see how Europe can agree to give them access to the single market. And while the Leave campaign has already backtracked on a lot of promises, I don't see how they can flip-flop on immigration.
I would love to talk more, but in the interest of time, we have to say goodbye. But we'll talk to you next week. Will you still be in Wyoming?
We'll be in Montana next week.
All right. Well, the phone works there, too, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
News analyst Neil Conan usually joins us from the farm most Tuesdays. You can also hear his Pacific News Minutes right here on Hawaii Public Radio.